Well, good morning. A very warm welcome to you this morning if you're joining us for the first time or for the thousandth and first time. And for those of you that are online, I pray that this morning you will too feel part of our service together as we share the love of Jesus around the table a little later. I thought I'd begin this morning with a few words from Psalm 27. And we'll be sharing this a bit later. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Whom shall I fear? And the answer to that really is no one. We're all fearful at times, aren't we? But when we've got the Lord as our light and as our salvation, we can face anything that comes our way. We're going to start this morning by singing a really great song. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun, endless is the victory that all death has won. Let's stand and let's sing this fantastic hymn together. Thank you, Brian. Be seated. I'm just going to open with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank you this morning that you have indeed won the victory. You defeated death on the cross so that we could have everlasting life with you. And so, Father, this morning, as we come and as we share around this table and as we worship together, fill us anew. Give us something new this morning to take away as we come to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. Amen. You'll have received your notice sheets by email, or I think we've got copies out in the meeting room. There's just two things I need to say. 5th of November, which is a Saturday, men's breakfast at Revive at 8 o'clock. Aubrey Vaughan is going to be taking a talk on the last words of William Shakespeare. So if that floats your boat, men, then get yourself booked in Revive. Not only will you have a great breakfast, but you might learn something about William Shakespeare. Also, a family breakfast. Scott and Simon are organising that on November the 12th, which is Saturday again. It's 8 a.m. here in the building. So if you want to come for cooked or continental and just want to share fellowship together, then there is a sign-up sheet, I think, which has gone up on the notice board. If not, it will be very soon. Thank you, Jenny. It's on the table in the meeting room. Get your names down on that, and it will be a great time of sausage and bacon and eggs and just sharing together. So my name's going to be at the top of that list, I think. Fantastic. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone asks you what's in the Bible, what's the first thing that you think of? If someone was going to say to you, tell me something about the Bible, what is this book all about? What's the first thing that comes into your head? I wonder. Yep. Well, do you think that you could tell the entire Bible story in 4 minutes? Starting at Genesis and finishing at Revelation. Yes? No? I don't think I could. You wish. Okay, I'm going to play you a video now, and it's going to do just that. It is going to tell the entire Bible story from Genesis through to Revelation in about 4 minutes. But what I'd like you to do, as you watch and as you listen, I want you to count the number of individual characters that are mentioned as it goes through. Okay, so if a character's mentioned, then make a note of it and add them up, right? And see how many you can get to. Here we go.
Right at the start, the original orator set out solar systems with stanzas, and from the dust he formed us as the ultimate reflection of his perfection. Until the cataclysmic mistake, with the snake spoiling the truth and speaking the fake news, knowledge misused and trust abused, sin goes viral. Yet a seed sown, pointing to a promise of a rescuer homegrown. They wait. Time passes, Abe gets the call up, then Isaac to Jacob, God wrestler. The providence of God sees Joe go from prisoner to prime minister. 400 years pass, then a 10-plague standoff, Israel's shackles come free. Moses leads the way as God sent departs the sea to Sinai. A 10-part moral compass, 12 eye spies, 40 years in the wilderness. They wait. Moses to Joshua. The baton gets passed. Promised land with milk and honey on tap. Judges lead, then it all falls apart. People want a king. On paper, Saul's mustard, but he wrecks the gig. Psalm singer David gets crowned then convicted. Temple gets built, but Solomon's conflicted. Kingdom divides, God's people get evicted. Daniel naps in a lion's den. 70 years pass, God brings them back then. Temple ruins get erected. A wall gets built, Jerusalem's protected, and they wait. 400 years pass. Enter magnificent maker of everything. Wrapped in linen cloths are beauty spots. Riffs off Isaiah, broke bread with outcasts. Healed Absalom paralytics who picked up their own mats. Passover palm leaves, then Passover to Gethsemane, to handcuffs, to trial, as Peter denies, on my mother's life I've not even met the guy. Then crucified. Love laid out his arms with one final cry, it is finished. But on the third day, hope reinstated with victory on display as the Messiah's stone rolled away. And before Jesus ascended, he says, wait. The Spirit's opening ceremony display. Tongues of fire, the works of a people full of praise. Stephen martyred, church close to despair, till Paul U-turns, preaching the gospel everywhere. Church as community, radical diversity, and this is our part in the unfolding story. Now Spirit sealed and for God's glory we participate, yet we still wait. And off the Isle of Patmos, Apostle John got a snapshot of how it all ends, and it's gonna be worth the wait. Sin's death grip will cease. No more tears, with fears forgotten and baggage sent packing, as the community of grace-gifted misfits welcome in the homecoming. From despair there'll be perfect repair, and hope will be there as the highlight for all time. Ease the promise became pillar to the plotline. The living vine, original orator, solar system setter outer, the dust former and people potter. Word became flesh, put to death yet raised, so one day we may raise in him. So we raise our lives as an offering of praise for the one who's worth the wait.
How many did you get? 21? Okay, did you count some characters more than once? Did you do the Potter and all those at the end as separate characters? But that, because that's about right. If you take individual characters, I got 16. Okay, so. But it's great, isn't it? Going from original orator all the way through. Jesus being and God being Alpha and Omega. And I don't know if you caught the last line there. So we raise our lives as an offering of praise for the one who's worth the wait. Amen? One day, we're going to be in glory with him, rejoicing. But until then, we've got work to do. I'm going to ask the music group to come up. We're going to just have a time of worship now. We're going to sing a couple of songs. So I invite you just to stand or sit and just sing these through and just worship our great God together. Thanks, guys.
is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the holy. Bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you Christ and go home.
All right, Jenny's going to come and she's going to pray with us. Thanks, Jenny.
When I thought about prayers this morning, I looked in my newspaper and then I wished I hadn't. So I went to the place where I found the most peace, and that's to Iona. And I'm going to use prayers from their worship book this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we hold in your healing presence those who suffer pain and ill health, with their families, friends, and those who care for them. Remembering Maxine and Bethany, Sheila Coe, Marion Pyburn, Nora and Jeff Sparks, may they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, we hold in your healing presence those who suffer in mind and spirit and all who care for them. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, we hold in your healing presence the suffering people of our world, and all the places where people are experiencing division, injustice, and violence, remembering especially Iran and the Ukraine. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, we hold in your healing presence those struggling to overcome addiction or abuse, those supporting and working with them, and all whose suffering has distanced them from those who love them. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, we hold in your healing presence those facing bereavement. We also pray for those who have died. May they know the deep peace of Christ. Loving God, we give you thanks for health restored and prayers answered. We hold in your healing presence and peace those whose needs are not known to us, and those whose names we do not know, but who are known to you and for whom we have been asked to pray. And we name in our hearts those who are close to us. May they know the deep peace of Christ. May your wisdom, God, guide our Prime Minister and Chancellor and all in authority as this week they try to deal with the challenging conditions that we all face. God of compassion and love, we offer you all our suffering and pain. Give us strength to bear our weakness, healing even when there is no cure, peace in the midst of turmoil, and love to fill the spaces in our lives. Glory to God, from whom all love flows. Glory to Jesus, who showed his love through suffering. And glory to the Holy Spirit, who brings light to the darkest places. Amen.
So this morning we're going to continue our journey through some of the parables that Jesus taught. And today we're looking at the story of the 10 bridesmaids, or as some translations put it, the 10 virgins. So let's read the story together. And if you've got your Bibles or your electronic devices, we're going from Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. And it says this. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the doors were locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." I've titled this talk this morning, "Are You Ready?" And that's if you're old like me. But if you're of a younger persuasion, I've got a title for you. And it's "Ready, Steady, Go." Something a bit more lively, maybe. And this whole story is summed up, really, by the last verse that we read. So you too must keep watch, or be vigilant, or be ready. For you do not know the day or hour of my return. And so to put this story into context, Jesus, sitting on the Mount of Olives, is answering the disciples' question as to signs of the ends of the world and when Jesus would return. He talks about nation rising against nation and people turning to false prophets, many people being caught off guard and not expecting Christ's return, realizing, actually after it was too late, completely unprepared. And to reinforce that point, Jesus then tells the parable that we've read. So with all that in mind, what can we take away from that story this morning for us? Well, as I read through the parable, there's a lot of things that we don't get told. Like, where has the groom come from? Why was he delayed? And where the 10 virgins waited? And most significantly, what about the bride? So I have to assume that these factors are not really important to this story. You see, it's all about anticipating the arrival of the groom, waiting for Jesus to return and take us into the banquet, being ready to share an eternal celebration with him. So firstly, I note this. Something was missing. Or if you want to be trendy, have I got everything? We're told that 5 of the bridesmaids failed to take enough olive oil for their lamps. And some commentators will argue that they didn't take any oil at all. They failed to think things through. Or maybe they thought they would be all right with what they had. Matthew sets out right at the beginning of this story, there's a disaster waiting to happen. 5 bridesmaids who just weren't prepared. And preparation is the key to success, as one of my old teachers once said. And I learnt this lesson very early on in my former career. Part of my job was to replace customer computer parts when they went wrong. And we had a very simple system at work to identify parts on our service spare shelf that were okay to use. White label, okay. Red label, something needed fixing. So out I went to a customer with a brand new computer screen with a white label, only to find when I plugged it in that nothing happened. Not only did that make me look a little silly in front of the customer, but it also told me a very important thing, that I was never, ever, ever going to trust a white label ever again. 2 minutes of me plugging that screen in at the office to make sure it worked would have saved me a few hours of heartache. And I'm sure we can all think of stories in our own lives where that is can be similar. So it's important to prepare and in the right way, which is true in our natural lives and also in our spiritual lives too. Proverbs 24:27 says, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Sort out the groundwork first before building. In the end, you only get to see the house, but the foundations are a vital part of the building work. Cracks will soon appear if there's a problem with the foundation." And our story, the bridesmaids were preparing to meet the groom. Now, I know this parable is really talking about the end of times, but let me ask you a question. How did you prepare for worship this morning? Did you come expecting to meet the groom? Was a Jesus encounter part of your thinking as you entered the building? Because today, like every day, Jesus wants an encounter with you and with me. He's reserved a space in his diary to meet personally with you. And what's great is that you don't need to book a time slot. He can pencil you in for right now. So did you come expectant this morning? And I don't know where you've come from or what type of week you've had, but how did you come to worship this morning? Because I believe that none of you this morning are here by accident. We're going to take a pause and we're going to take a few minutes to ask ourselves that question and maybe answer it in our own hearts. Personally, the more I travel on my journey of faith, the more I realise how much I need Jesus' encounters. Maybe you want to focus on a line from this well-known psalm, allowing the Holy Spirit to move you and meet with you as you openly consider where you are on your journey. And I'm going to play a song in a minute as you just think about these words. But I'm always struck by this psalm. The very first line, "The Lord is my shepherd." And if you take the word "Lord is" and "my," and you give emphasis to those words individually, they take on a completely different meaning. If you say, "The Lord is my shepherd," there's nobody else. Nothing else can fill that spot of God, the Lord, Jesus, wanting to take care of you and look after you and shepherd you and guide you. If you were to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," that's factual, isn't it? Is. You know it for certainty. The Lord is my shepherd. And then you've got "my." The Lord is my shepherd. You know it personally, for yourself. He's the one looking out for me. Therefore, I actually lack nothing. I have and am everything only in Him. So read this psalm through, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Did I come this morning for a Jesus encounter? And I hope the answer to that question is yes. Because as you read this psalm, as you listen to the words of this song, my prayer is that you will encounter the risen Jesus for yourself in a new and exciting way as you read it and as you listen. a table has been prepared this morning for us to meet Jesus afresh. And we're going to share in that right now. So I invite all of you who love the Lord Jesus and want to get close to him and know him more to partake in this bread and juice, symbols of the Lord's broken body and shed blood. So if those who are serving could come and join me. Chris is going to pray. And then we're going to share communion together. Thanks, Chris.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this meal set before us, the bread and the juice, and what it represents, Lord. It just shows us and reminds us of your love and the sacrifice that your Son Jesus Christ made for us. And as we take the bread this morning, Lord, remind us just of what your Son Jesus Christ went through, because he wanted to save us, because he loved us, and that his body was broken, just as that bread roll will be broken in a few moments. Lord, we thank you that you went through that for us. And as we take the juice, Lord, we are reminded again of your shed blood and the way that back in the olden days, the blood was a sign of cleansing, a sign of new life and a sign of purity. So, Lord, we thank you for that juice. And as we take it, we are reminded that before you, Lord, we are clean, because Jesus died for us. And because of this, we know that we can come into your presence. And we know that one day we will have this meal again with your Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And Lord, we look forward to that day. But now, Lord, we thank you for your great love for us, and remind us just how much as we take part in this communion meal. We thank you, Lord, through Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Into the Christians in Corinth, said these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We're going to share in the bread together. And as we take it, we're going to eat it as individual. And just remember the things that Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. hold on to it and drink together. Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Let's drink together and remember." Lord, we thank you that we can indeed have the privilege of coming round this table in remembrance, and to be able to proclaim your death until you come again. Amen. The groom is coming. Hallelujah. When writing computer programs, as I have written many, many, many in my time, you need to keep the end user in mind. That person who will be using the software every day that you've diligently written and put together. And if I could give a pound for every time I have said, "Well, I wasn't expecting you to do that," I'd be very rich by now. You see, I argue that it wasn't my program that was coded badly. I just hadn't anticipated at all in any way that the user would try and use it or try and do it and use it in that manner, which had made it go wrong. And in our story, we see that the bridegroom had been delayed, something none of the bridesmaids could have anticipated. In fact, so late that all 10 bridesmaids fell asleep until midnight, that is, when the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming," come out and meet him, which roused the bridesmaids into action. Jesus is coming back again. He's promised this. Do you know that? And right in the very last chapter of our Bibles, we're told this. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And our parable tells us that Christ's return will occur when no one expects it. Life is full of the unexpected. None of us knows what's really around the corner. We need to only be ready, be steady, to stand our ground and be counted, not ashamed of the gospel, and willing to share Jesus' life-changing message to anyone who'll listen. And can we say with David this morning from Psalm 18, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. When the five bridesmaids realize they don't have enough oil, and they ask the others to borrow some, you might think that their answer in verse 9 was a little mean. We don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. Well, good luck with that, ladies. It's midnight. Finding a 24-hour open Tesco's or Asda in Bible times might be a little tricky. They might be away for a little while, methinks. But let's consider the circumstances here. Weddings in Jesus' time went on for several days, and in some cultures they still do today. Part of the bridesmaid's role might have been to process through the streets with the bridal party, holding up their lamps in celebration and announcing the party's arrival. And they may have reasoned that five lamps were better than them all going out halfway through the procession, plunging everyone into darkness. So sharing oil was not an option. Now let's take a slight leap for here for a second. One of the I ams of Jesus in John 8, Jesus states, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hold that thought for 1 second as I just read from 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I can reside in God's light because of my salvation through Christ's redeeming sacrificial act on the cross. Just like the groom walked in the bridesmaid's lamp's light, I walk in Christ's light. So there's a link or connection here between light and salvation. The two are often referenced together in scripture. David in the opening of Psalm 27, for example, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The verse we started with today. Light here being an expression of the goodness of God. And here's the thing, and this is what I want you to remember. Just like the bridesmaids couldn't give away or share their oil, I can't give you my salvation. You have to receive it for yourself. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 puts it like this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that none of you can boast. It's a gift from God. whilst I can share my faith, I'm not responsible for actually getting you saved or made right with God. Only you and him can do that. I can't share my salvation with you. You've got to receive it for yourself. So it's worth asking yourself that question this morning, right this very second. Do I know Jesus personally for myself? Not through my family or friends, not through their eyes, but personally. Not looking at Jesus from the outside, but do I have him living inside in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because here comes the scary bit. You may not get another opportunity. Those that were made ready to meet the groom went into the feast and the doors were locked. When the others arrived to find they couldn't get in, what did the groom say? Sorry, I don't know you. They'd missed it. And they were not given a second chance. And there's no time like right now. Right this very moment. To say yes to Jesus. This could be the last chance you will ever get. I'm going to pause for just 1 second. And I'm going to pray. And maybe you want to echo these words in your heart for the first time. Or for the 1,000th and first time. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. I know I haven't always done what is right, but I know that you died on a cross to take away my sin and make me a new person in you. I want to follow you wherever you lead. Change me. Make me new. And make me more like you, Jesus. Amen. And I want to say this morning that if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, and you want to say in your heart, yes to Jesus, I know there's something missing. I know that I've tried all sorts of things, but nothing has satisfied. And if you want to know more about what it means to say yes to Jesus, then I challenge you to come and speak to me afterwards. Because I'd love to share a little more with you guys. So you too must keep watch. For you do not know the day or hour of my return, says Jesus. So, we need to get ourselves ready for what God has for us. We need to remain steady and unwavering in our convictions and love for Jesus. And then go and do the things he asks of us. For none of us know when he's coming back again. We just know that he will. Amen. We're going to finish with this hymn. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Let's stand and sing this cracking hymn together. Go before us to lead us, behind us to prompt us, under us to support us, above us to bless us, around us to protect us. Come within us that we may serve you with body and soul and mind to the glory of your name. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Go forth in the peace of the Lord. Amen.